Have you ever considered that perhaps ancient prophecies aren't just, historical curiosities, but could actually be a hidden timeline, maybe guiding future events, connecting to surprising moments right now in our world?
It's a really compelling thought, isn't it? The idea that maybe these big historical events aren't random, but part of some larger pattern waiting for us to figure it out.
And that's precisely the deep dive we're taking today. Our
Yeah.
main topic is the Fall Feasts of Israel and their surprising potential connection to a very specific timeline,
Right, the final 7 years of this age.
often called Daniel's 70th week. That's the one.
Yeah. And to help us unpack all this, we're leaning on a pretty detailed source. It's a YouTube video.
From the channel End Time Pilgrim. The video is called The Fall Feasts of Israel and the Timeline of the Final 7 Years of This Age. It's quite a title.
It definitely lays out the scope.
So our mission today really is to pull out the key insights from this.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty dense material. The goal is to help you understand how these biblical concepts might weave together, maybe forming a kind of roadmap for the future.
Like a shortcut to getting up to speed on this particular viewpoint.
Exactly, a shortcut to being well-informed. So let's jump in.
Okay, so where do we start? The source points us straight to the Hebrew calendar, and specifically seven feasts, or the Hebrew word is modim, appointed times.
Appointed times.
And what's really striking, according to this source, is the claim that four of these feasts, they've already been fulfilled.
Fulfilled. How so?
With incredible precision, like almost uncanny, nearly 2,000 years ago, during what's often called the Passion Year.
And the connections are super specific, right? Like Passover.
Directly linked to the crucifixion of the Messiah. That's the argument.
Okay, and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread comes right after.
Yep, and that's tied to his burial, the idea of the sinless unleavened bread of heaven in the grave.
Wow, man,
Then you wait 3 days and three nights, and you get the Feast of First Fruits,
Which is linked to.
the resurrection, emerging as the first fruits from the dead.
Makes sense.
And then 50 days after that, you arrive at the Feast of Pentecost.
Pentecost, big one.
Huge, associated with God's divine visitation, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
And the source makes an interesting point about Pentecost, doesn't it? Comparing Sinai and Jerusalem.
It does. It contrasts 3,000 deaths at Sinai under the law with 3,000 salvations in Jerusalem, by grace under Peter's preaching.
Quite a contrast.
Yeah. So the source highlights Pentecost as the birthday of the nation of Israel at Sinai and also the birthday of the congregation of Israel, or what we call the church in Jerusalem.
So these first four feasts, these modem, the claim is they burst into history right on their specific calendar dates.
Exactly. Which naturally leads us to the other three, the fall feasts.
Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles.
Right. Though Tabernacles isn't the focus here, but trumpets and Day of Atonement, the source says these are yet to emerge in their new covenant fulfillment.
And this is where the big question comes in, the core of this deep dive.
Could the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement somehow connect to Daniel's 70th week?
Could they mark out those final 7 years? It bridges that past fulfillment with this future expectation.
Which brings us to Daniel's 70th week itself. Why is that prophecy so important here?
Well, the source calls it the most important end-time Bible prophecy for people studying this stuff.
Because it contains that specific 7-year period still to come.
Right, 7-year period of time yet to run before the end of the age, as it's often understood.
And it's not just any random 7 years.
No, not at all. This future heptad of years, this sabbatical cycle, it's presented as time determined or set apart for divine purpose by God Himself.
A specific purpose. And who is it for?
The source says it's a time for God's dealings with all of His covenant people,
Which includes?
both houses of Israel, so national Israel and the Jewish house of Judah and the church. It's comprehensive.
Okay, so how does this specific 7-year period actually begin? That seems crucial.
Very. According to Daniel 9.27, it's initiated by the confirmation of a 7-year covenant with many.
A covenant, okay, with who?
With a figure referred to as a prince. And the source describes this deal as a huge sovereignty giveaway.
Wow. Involving who?
Involving Israel, yes, but also, interestingly, the G7 nations currently holding the reins of world power. That's quite a specific interpretation.
It really is. Points to a very particular kind of kickoff event.
So, okay, bring it back to the feasts. The core idea, the hypothesis is, could trumpets and Day of Atonement literally bracket these 7 years.
Could they stake out that period, like the source says, the timeline fitting precisely between those two holy days 7 years apart?
So the start, how would that look?
Well, the source suggests the confirmation of the seven-year covenant might happen alongside an epic blowing of trumpets.
Which lines up pretty neatly with the Feast of Trumpets, doesn't it?
It does, imagistically, and then the end point.
The Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur.
Exactly. The idea is that Yom Kippur might be the very last day, the judgment day, that actually terminates the final 7 years.
So if, and it's a big if, but if this fits perfectly, if the timeline aligns exactly between those two dates, 7 years apart,
then the source argues it's a major discovery, something given by the Holy One of Israel.
Providing, as they put it, a bird's eye view of the end time.
Yeah, and accurate information and a good layout of the final 7 years. Basically a divine roadmap.
A roadmap. Okay, let's get into the timing then, the actual length.
Right. So the future 70th week is described as being made of biblical years.
Which are how long?
360 days each. Not our standard 3,764.
Okay, so 7 years times 360 days.
It comes out to 2,520 days. That's the length of Daniel's 70th week itself.
And right smack in the middle of that 2,520 days, there's a key event.
A very significant one. The abomination that makes desolate. It's mentioned in Daniel, and Jesus talks about it in Matthew 24.
And this event splits the 2,520 days.
Exactly. Divides it into two equal halves, each 1,260 days long.
Okay, two halves. How does the source describe them?
Well, the first 1,260 days, the source interprets this as a time when the New World Order is cloaked with the robes of compromised religion.
Compromised religion. Oh, okay.
It points to Revelation 17. John sees this symbolic beast, but this time there's a harlot woman riding on its back trying to control it.
And John is amazed by this.
Apparently, yes. Because this harlot figure is seen as rejecting holiness to try and rule the world herself.
Okay, that's the first half. What about the second 1,260 days?
That period is identified as the Great Tribulation.
The Great Tribulation.
Yeah. This is when, according to the source, the 666 beast will be revealed for who he really is, and he'll be ruling directly.
This period also includes other things mentioned in Revelation, right?
Yes, like the dual end time witness of the saints and the ministry of the two witnesses from Revelation 11. And it concludes the trampling of Jerusalem.
So 1260 plus 1260 is 2,520 days. That's the 70th week. But there's a catch.
There is a crucial one, according to the source. Those 2,520 days do not make up all of the final 7 years.
Oh, what else is there?
Daniel 12.01. It says, from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that makes desolate set up there shall be 12,290 days.
Okay, wait. The second half was 1,260 days. But this says 1,290 days from the abomination.
Exactly, which means...
an extra 30 days. Beyond the Great Tribulation.
Precisely. An extra 30 days tacked on after the second 1,260-day period.
And what happens in those 30 days? What's their purpose?
The source connects them to these awesome cosmic signs. Darkened sun, bloody moon, meteor showers.
That sounds like the sixth seal in Revelation.
That's exactly what the source links it to. Revelation 6, Joel 2, Matthew 24, all describing events happening immediately after the Tribulation.
So after day 1,260, the second half.
Right. The source paints a picture of some terrible calamity hitting around day 1260, causing maybe global atmospheric contamination. Something so bad it threatens all life.
Ooh.
It suggests that without divine intervention, whatever starts then would basically wipe everything out.
So these extra 30 days, they're like a pause.
The source interprets it as a grace period, a sign of God's incredible patience and mercy.
A 30-day window for people to... repent.
To set their affairs in order and to repent and to receive his offered salvation. That's the idea. Before a final day of reckoning.
Okay, so let's add it all up. The total timeline for this whole final period is
1,260 days for the first half plus 1,260 for the second half plus that extra 30 days.
Or you could say 1,260 plus 1,290 using the Daniel 12 number.
Right. Either way, it comes out to 2,550 days.
2,550 days. And that's the number the source says should fit perfectly between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement 7 years later.
Precisely. That's the proposed map.
Okay, this is where the precision really kicks in, isn't it? Measuring that time span.
It really is. You need an exact measurement between Tishri 1, the Feast of Trumpets, and Tishri 10, the Day of Atonement, 7 years down the line.
And the source gets into lunar cycles, mechanic cycles.
Yeah, it touches on the complexities, like how a seven-year span can have 86 or sometimes 87 moons because of the 19 Nurmatonic cycle and adding extra months, embolism month.
Okay.
But it focuses on spans with 86 moons. And when you calculate that out, including the 9 extra days from Tishri 1 to Tishri 10,
you get
an inclusive total of 2,550 days, it lines up with the prophetic number.
But there's a big point here about the calendar itself, right? The official one.
Huge point. The source strongly argues that the official Hebrew calendar, the one based on Hillel's calculations from way back in 359 AD, it's drifting.
Drifting. How?
It tends to declare the new moon a day earlier than it should be based on actual observation.
So the source rejects that calendar for this purpose.
It insists on using what it calls a biblical calendar, one based on the actual cycles of the sun and moon.
And crucially, on the sighted new moon.
Yes, the sighted new moon as viewed from Jerusalem with two or more confirming witnesses. This aligns with groups like Karaite Jews and some biblical Christians.
And how do they figure that out now?
They use NASA moon phase data as a tool to predict when that first crescent sliver would actually be visible from Jerusalem.
Okay, so let's look at the case study they used, 2014 to 2021.
Right. Using the NASA data and the visibility criteria for Jerusalem, the source calculates the true and legitimate Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets for 2014.
And it's September 26th, not the date on the standard calendar.
Correct. September 26th, 2014.
Okay, then they do the same thing for the end date. Day of Atonement, 2021.
Exactly the same process. Calculating the true new moon sighting for Tishri 2021 leads them to determine the biblically correct Day of Atonement for 2021 as September 18th.
September 18th, 2021. Okay, now the moment of truth. The number of days between September 26th, 2014 and September 18th, 2021.
When you calculate that span inclusively, factoring in the years, the leap years, adjusting for the start and end dates.
It comes out to?
Precisely 2,550 days.
Wow. Okay, that is a precise fit with the number derived from Daniel.
Exactly. The source highlights this as a perfect match for the theory.
But you mentioned this wasn't the only possible timeline that fits this pattern.
That's right. The source also notes that the span from 2017 to 2024 also results in a precise 2,550-day fit using the same methodology.
Interesting.
And it even mentions there could be other later candidates out there decades away, suggesting this 2,550-day interval might be a recurring possibility in the biblical calendar.
Okay, going back to 2014 for a second, the source also talked about omens around that time. Eclipses.
Yes, the highly unusual eclipse cluster. Remember the talk about the tetrad. 4 total lunar eclipses in 2014 and 2015.
Yeah, the blood moons that got a lot of attention.
Right. Discovered by Pastor Mark Biltz back in 2008. They fell on Passover and Tabernacles in both years. Plus, there was a solar eclipse on Nisan 1, 2015.
But the source makes a really important clarification about these eclipses, doesn't it?
Crucial clarification. It says, yes, these eclipses were likely an important omen, maybe signaling the beginning of this potential 70th week.
But they are not the true blood moon.
Emphatically not. Not the one connected to those very late post-tribulation cosmic signs of the sixth seal. That's different.
So what is the real blood moon, according to this view?
It's described as something much, much bigger. An epic, worldwide event lasting maybe 30 days.
The same 30 days as the grace period.
That seems to be the implication. It involves a darkened sun and a spectacular meteor shower happening after the Great Tribulation.
The one described by Joel, Jesus, and John in Revelation 6.
Exactly. So the source sees that as a far bigger deal than the 2014-15 eclipse tetrad.
Okay. So wrapping this part up, we've taken a really deep dive here into this perspective, connecting prophecy, feasts, and some incredibly detailed calendar math.
Yeah, weaving ancient texts, biblical timelines, and even astronomical data together to suggest this precise 2,550-day roadmap.
This is definitely a compelling framework they've built.
And if this interpretation turns out to be correct, the source concludes it gives God's people a very detailed map.
An accurate 7-year roadmap with very precise waypoints and a very certain terminus point.
Which you can imagine would be extremely informative and encouraging for anyone watching for these kinds of signs.
The source also has a kind of call to action, or maybe just a strong emphasis.
On making our peace with God, yeah.
Encouraging people to invite the living Messiah into our life, to minister to us and to guide us.
And the phrasing used is quite stark. Such a decision and resolve would not come 1 minute too early.
It definitely adds a sense of urgency or importance to the whole discussion.
And finally, the source frames our whole life experience in this context. It says something like,
we are not permanent citizens of the nations of this world.
Rather, we are pilgrims on a journey towards a better country, a city with eternal foundations.
The holy city Abraham saw, whose builder and maker is God.
It puts everything into a much longer perspective.
So the question for you listening might be, What could it mean for you to view your own journey, your own understanding of time, through this kind of profound long-term lens, especially after considering all these intricate connections we've explored today?